You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Bible teacher and translator Dr. Paul Esposito and Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. Dr. Esposito is the translator of the English Majority Text, New Testament, as well as the Apostles' Bible, a modern English translation of the Greek Septuagint, Old Testament, both available through Amazon Publishing. And now here with today's broadcast is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana, we greet you here today. Happy Tuesday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Tuesday here with us as we together study the Word and sit under the Word of God. The sermon today is entitled, Thus Says the Lord. We're in Acts chapter 21, and we're going to find here today the only instance and the only time that phrase, Thus Says the Lord, actually here it's Thus Says the Holy Spirit. The only time you'll find that in the entire New Testament is going to be in today's text. That phrase, Thus Says the Lord, is in the Old Testament 417 times. Why isn't it in the New? We're going to answer that question today. Let's get right at it. This is part one. I invite you guys to church on Wednesday. We have a brand new teaching, brand new study, and I will be teaching the book of Daniel verse by verse. That's the companion book to the book of Revelation, Wednesday at 6 o'clock. You are invited. Why don't you guys come by, worship with us here, and join us for a Wednesday night midweek Bible study, Wednesday, 6 o'clock, Island Community Church. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. Join us in person if you're unable to. The Facebook feed will turn on live right at 6 o'clock. Same name, Island Community Church. Okay, let's get into the Word. Thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. That's the title for my sermon here today. Now, we're up to Acts chapter 21 this morning in our ongoing study here in the book of Acts. I've entitled this sermon, Thus Saith the Lord. And I'll give you the reason here in a few minutes why this has this name. Now, let's pick it up here from the top. Acts chapter 21. Looks like I have the first 14 verses on the handout. If you don't have a Bible, the first 14 verses are on the handout, okay? Again, from Acts chapter 21. Now, remember what we just read last week. The Holy Spirit is showing Paul through his own conscience and through others that trouble awaits him. Now, Paul said in the last chapter, I now go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that'll happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. That was chapter 20, verse 22. Now, here's the difference. Here in the Apostle Paul's day, the Holy Spirit testified in every city that tribulation awaits him. But you and I have the completed Word of God, which testifies now. They had the Holy Spirit testifying. We've got the Word of God. We have written down the Lord Jesus saying, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world, John 16:33. I don't need someone in every city to tell me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, because I've got a word of knowledge, and it's right here. I already have it. We have the completed Word of God right here. So no longer are you going to go to churches and have, well, we'll get to that. I don't want to send everyone home. It's only 11:11. There could have been prophets in every city back in the day to tell you an awesome truth like that. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But you and I have got something that these guys never had. You've got the completed Word of God. The word of God, as Peter called it, made more sure. We have a more, as it says in the King James Version, you have a more sure word of prophecy. That is, the word of God is greater than everything and greater than everyone. That's why this church is doing so well. Because I know the secret, you see, and I share it with all of you. And that is, we sit under the word of God and we do what it says. And that's the secret. It's just simple, right? Now, Acts chapter 21, starting in verse 1. Now, it came to pass, came to Padanki, that when we had departed from there and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Cos, and the following day to Rhodes. Now, if you guys can follow along, it's probably the last map in your maps section in the back of your Bibles. The last map probably reads Paul's missionary journeys. All right, it's the next to last map in my Bible, Paul's missionary journey. You can follow along. Luke, who wrote this and wrote the Gospel of Luke, is the greatest historian who's ever lived. He's on this trip with them. So he's given you directions. I've heard boat captains say, this is the greatest. And some people, some boat captains have come to the faith due to Luke and his writing, that they knew everything that he said was true, as we're going to see later when there's a shipwreck and the things that they did to try to save their own lives. Now, it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Cos, the following day to Rhodes, from there to Patara. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. And when he had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre. Okay, they're back home now. They're near Caesarea. If you're looking on your map, they're back now relatively to where Israel is. Okay? So we sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre. For there, the ship was to unload her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go to Jerusalem, not to go up to Jerusalem. When we had come to the end of those days, we departed. Again, we being Luke, who's writing this book. We departed and went on our way. And they all accompanied us with wives and children until we were all out of the city. And we knelt down on the shore and prayed. Now, when we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship and they returned home. All right, so here's a great commentary I read on this. I mean, it appears that the Apostle Paul's going against the Holy Spirit's word not to go to Jerusalem, right? I mean, he's being warned here. Here's what I read. Let me read this commentary to you. It was during this time that these disciples told Paul through the Spirit that he should not set foot in Jerusalem. This raises the age-old question as to whether Paul was deliberately disobedient in going to Jerusalem, whether he unwittingly failed to discern the mind of the Lord, or whether he was actually in the will of God for going. A casual reading of verse 4 might seem to indicate the apostle was willful and headstrong, acting in deliberate defiance of the Spirit. However, a more careful reading might indicate that Paul did not actually know these were warnings given through the Holy Spirit. Luke, the historian, tells his readers that the advice of the Tyrian, those from Tyre's disciples, was Spirit-inspired. But he does not say that the apostle knew this as a definite fact. It seems far more probable that Paul interpreted the advice of his friends as calculated to save him from physical suffering and even death. In his love for his Jewish countrymen, he did not feel that his physical well-being was the important consideration. So I would side with that commentary. Verse 7. Now, when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, We came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them one day. Okay, again, so they're back home. Now, Ptolemais is in Judea on the coast. They're home. Verse 8, on the next day, we who were Paul's companions, we departed and we came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven. You guys remember him from a few months ago? Back in chapter 8, Philip the evangelist, he was one of the first original deacons. Verse 9, now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus, he came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt and he bound his own hands and feet and says, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, did you know that this is the only time in the entire New Testament that the phrase, thus says the Lord, is found? And it doesn't even say that here in this text. If you notice, it says, thus says the Holy Spirit. Thus says the Lord is found 417 times in the Old Testament. And it's not even found once in the New Testament. How do you account for that? Allow me to help. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 informs us. It says there, it says, God, who in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Do you guys catch that? God, who in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jeremiah, Obadiah, Amos, has in these last days spoken us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. In other words, Jesus is the Word of God. That's all that we need to take from that. That's why there's no thus says the Lord in the New Testament. Thus says the Lord points to him, because he is thus says the Lord. He's the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 1. Anarche an ho logos. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. He is the Word of God. There is no thus says the Lord in the New Testament, because thus says the Lord is the Son of God. He is the living embodiment of the Word of God. He says, God the Father said this when he was baptized. Remember what he said? Huh? Right. Houtos estin ho wios mu ho agapetos on judicesa. That is, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then he said, akuete atu. That means acoustic. Listen to him. He is the Word of God. And this, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, it says, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it'll vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. That's 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10. And that which is perfect, in this pastor's humble estimation, is this. It's the completed Word of God. Is perfect. It's without flaw and without error. So now we understand better why we don't find that phrase, thus says the Lord, in the New Testament. Because all words from God, come from the Son of God. Only this one instance of thus says the Spirit. This is why if someone starts to say something like this to you, then run the other way. Don't go to a church or a group that practices this. Don't go to a church or to a group that practices this, that sits around and says, thus says the Lord. I know what thus says the Lord is, and it's all written down. It's right here. How do I know what you're speaking is the word of God? I've got the word of God, and it's all right here. You see, I could never square this for the first 25 years of being a Christian. When he says prophecies will fail, but there's prophets all throughout the New Testament. Why? Because this book wasn't finished yet. That's why someone over here could sit and say, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That's why someone else over here could get up and say, pray without ceasing. That's why someone over there could say, greater is he that is in you. Prophets were all throughout the church, and that's what they said. But now you've got the word of God written down. There's no longer a need for a prophet to get up and say that. Book, chapter, and verse, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. I just read it to you. God, who in various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. The right way to speak the word of God to someone today is like this. The word of God says, dot, 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 that you should, whatever. Like I said before, abstain from sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. The word of God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Isaiah 54:17. The word of God says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Romans 8:31. The word of God says, the wages of sin is death. You don't need a prophet to tell you that. Open up your Bible and you'll read it for yourself. That's why there was prophets in the New Testament. Because this book wasn't written down yet. This book wasn't written down yet. The word of God trumps everything and everyone. Now, perhaps the greatest witness of all time, the Apostle Peter, put it this way. He says, we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. I'm in 1 Peter 1:16. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Then Peter says this. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to pay attention to as a light that's shining in a dark place until the morning star arises in your hearts. Peter is saying here that even though he was an eyewitness and he saw Jesus and heard the voice of God, he's saying the word of God trumps everything. The word of God, it's all that we need. It's better than an eyewitness. He's heard the voice of God. And he says, your Bible is better. There's no need for a prophet anymore. This is why you don't see one anymore. Look, a prophet is not someone who told you where your Aunt Josephine hid her will, or where Uncle Seymour stashed all of his gold and silver. That's not what a prophet does. Look, you've got, I counted, matter of fact, I've got a Bible kicking around somewhere. I might have given out. It's called the Promise Bible. It's a list of every promise given in the Bible. And there's like 4,430 promises in the Bible. If you want a promise from God, here's a novel thought. Open up the Word of God, right? Don't listen to anyone. No matter who you are, I'm not going to call you a charlatan. Normally, I would have done that. read your Bible if you want a word. I've seen that one, that cartoon on Facebook. When someone says, God, why won't you speak to me, right? So you see this cloud and you see this arm come out of the cloud going, yank. Open up your, here it is right here. He's handing you a word of God. That's why I've named my program WGOD Radio. Because God is always broadcasting. He's always speaking. He always has a word for you. A real prophet does not need your money. A real prophet would say to you, like Peter did, your money perish with you. We don't need your money. John Hagee used to say that if a real prophet ever showed up at his church, he would clear the place out in 5 minutes flat. I mean, can you imagine your sins up here on the screen today? How fast could we empty the church? I know some people fill the church. They tape $50 bills under the seat. But we certainly could run them out by that way. This is what a prophet did. So instead of needing a man traveling around the countryside to tell you you're a sinner, you have the completed word of God not only to tell you you're a sinner, but also to throw you a life preserver and to tell you what to do about it. Because it doesn't end there. Just him telling you you're a sinner just convicts you of sin. But that's not the end of it, right? The wages of sin is death, but there's a but right there after that. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, today, there's not going to be a prophet in the back of the church that's going to get up and tell you that. You've got the word of God right here to tell you that. And I encourage you to stay out of churches that have thus says the Lord, and they're going to tell you what God says, because I don't need your help to tell me what God says. I've got it right here. Right? You guys don't need my help. Maybe I help maybe explain a little bit. I hope you guys get some good out of me preaching. Something, I hope, right? And it's all written down now. That's the reason why there is no legitimate prophet in the world anymore. And this is the reason why there's no need for a prophet anymore. Again, just remember Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Write it down. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Quote it often because it's the greatest showstopper there is. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things. Look, there is no new revelation. I've heard a saying once and I love it. It says, if it's new, then it's not true. And if it's true, then it's not new. Now let's spend the rest of our Sunday together here with the apostle. Let's see what happens next. Now I got a lot of reading to do. Let's pick it up here in verse 11. Back to this prophet, Agabus, is where we left off. I guess just in my Christian life, I get around a lot and have before I was a pastor. And being a radio station manager for 20-some-odd years, I hear this kind of stuff all the time. Of people get up and say, thus says the Lord. And don't believe them and don't follow them. Even if what they tell you is true. Remember that googly-eyed fruitcake we ran into in chapter 16? Who said, follow the Apostle Paul wherever he goes and listen to everything. She had one eye going that way, one eye. She was like Marty Feldman. And Paul was greatly annoyed. The woman was telling people about Jesus. Just because they tell you the truth, it doesn't mean you need to listen to them. In that case, at least, She said, Paul's telling you how to be saved. And he was greatly annoyed and cast a demon out of someone. Better be careful who you're listening to. Okay, verse 11. Now, when he had come to us, that's Agabus, his prophet, he took Paul's belt, he bound his own hands and feet and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. You see, you too have the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You see, now you have got what these guys didn't have. You've got John 16:33, where Jesus said, in this world you will have what? But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. They had prophets that get up and told you that. You, all you got to do is crack open the book of John in your Bible, and you'll find it right there. Read some of these devotionals every day. Saturate, be in the Word of God. You'll hear God speak to you. As much time as you want to give him is as much time as you'll hear a word from God. That's up to you. That's up to you. These guys didn't have the encouragement that you have. Verse 12, now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place, we pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, he says, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? What an emotional scene this must have been. Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, well, the will of the Lord be done. What a funny statement. The will of the Lord's going to be done anyway, right? On earth as it is in heaven. And just because he doesn't do what you say doesn't mean, well, you know, will of the Lord's not going to be done. The will of the Lord's always done, by hook or by crook. He just invites us to take part of it, right? If you say no, then he'll just go over here and ask someone else. If you say no, he'll just... But there's no thwarting or stopping the will of God from being fulfilled. So yes, the will of the Lord be done. Verse 15, now after those days, we packed and went up to Jerusalem. I heard there was a three men in a truck out there.
You've been listening to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Esposito from Merritt Island, Florida. To contact Pastor Paul, write to him at elected77@gmail.com. The church's website is islandcommunitychurch.net. The videos of Pastor Paul's sermons are available on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.